Hello and welcome to the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Gribble. I've been celebrating students and staff on social media since 2014. I'm in the trenches with you, and I know it's not an easy task. So if you're responsible for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more for a K-12 school district, you are in the right spot. You're going to lean in and learn some simple, actionable tips to help you reach even more people. And that's all going to happen while keeping your sanity. So let's get started. Hey there. Welcome to the podcast. If you're watching this, I am recording from my other office, other location in Minnesota today. But I had just the most delightful conversation with today's guest, Jen Sheely and Allison Gangle. They are out of Downingtown, area school districts in Pennsylvania. And they're doing amazing, amazing things. I'm telling you, you're going to want to go and check out their social media channels. But today you're going to learn how Jen was able to actually expand her department. They have 13,000 students. It's actually the sixth largest in Pennsylvania. So she's going to talk about how she's expanded her communications department and how they kind of handle social media in their district. Allison's really going to break down how she was able to grow her Instagram page. She actually increased her followers by over 100% in the first year of her on the job. So we're going to talk about some Instagram strategies. And then you're going to learn a new term to break down content, and it's called the 8 A's. You're going to learn what those A's stand for and how to use that in your storytelling. And then Jen's going to dive in to a fail, followed by what they learned and some success with their This Is DEI campaign. Great tips all the way to the end, you guys. This is just an amazing episode. So please listen through. It's a little longer, but that's because they had so much to share. Listen in. And if you want to continue to learn from the best of the best, don't miss my Best of Social Media Awards 2024. It's coming up live on May 10th. You can get signed up now. We have hundreds and hundreds of schools that have applied for social media awards. We're going to identify some of the winners and talk through lessons learned on School Communicators Day, which is May 10th. So get signed up. The link is in the show notes right now, and I'll see you on May 10th. But now let's dive in to first this week's K-12 PR tip. All right, today's K-12 PR tip is something that our team has had to deal with a few times in the past few months, and I just thought it would be helpful to talk through when and what to do in regards to social media when a death of a student or a death of a staff member happens. This isn't my normal, like, helpful, radiant tip, but it's very, very practical, and I thought I'd talk about it. So we just recently had a student pass away at one of our schools, and the superintendent's like, well, the parent said it was okay if we put the name out there, you know, should we post that on social media? And so I just said, you know what? Usually what we'll do is if you want to communicate directly to the parents, that's probably best. But maybe we don't need to put that on social media necessarily. Now, you may be different, and maybe, you know, helping your community heal with things like that. Maybe you do choose to put something on social media, but you always, number one, need to make sure that you have the family's permission. Okay. Number two, you just want to think about, okay, do we want to put this on? Because if there were other circumstances around a death of a student or staff member, would we put that on social media? And of course, I'm talking, you know, sometimes it's an accident, sometimes it's natural causes, sometimes there is a level of suicide or some other factor. You know, in my 10 years of doing social media, we've had every type of tragedy happen in schools. And so we really have to be careful of what we do on social media. The other thing that's really important to think about is what else is being posted on your page, because it's hard to celebrate your school in a great way when some of your community might be mourning. Now, my conversation just happened on a Thursday with a superintendent, and so we decided, hey, we're not going to post anything new until Monday, so that gave us a few days. So you may want to look at, we call it going dark or not posting any new content for a few days in respect for a tragedy. But I just wanted to share this. This is something that is bound to happen at some time in your school. And I think it's good to talk about before it happens of how you're going to handle it within your district. So that is really the tip for today, is have a plan, before it happens. Make sure that you know, yes, we will post, no, we won't. Are we going to go dark? Look at your scheduled posts. Because in some cases, you even have to look to see if posts scheduled involve the students or staff members that maybe had passed away. And so very important to be alert at those things and kind of make yourself a checklist so that you can have things in place for when or if that happens in your school. So we talk about these things a lot in our membership group as they come up, because of course, when trauma hits, it's a little bit harder for us to handle. If you're looking for more support in your role, we'd certainly invite you into that community. But now let's jump on to a much happier topic with Jen and Allison out of Downingtown in Pennsylvania. You are going to learn a lot. Hang on to your seats. Hang on to your chair. I'm not sure, but let's get started. Good morning. Welcome to the podcast. We have Jen Sheely and Allison Gangle joining us from Downingtown area school districts in Pennsylvania. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Hi.
I am so glad that you both were able to join the podcast today. Why don't you each take time to introduce yourselves, maybe share a little bit about your background and then your role at the school. Jen, do you want to go first?
Sure. Hi, thanks for having me. I am the Director of Communications for Downingtown Area School District. I started here in 2019. Our school district is the sixth largest in Pennsylvania, so we've got about 13,000 students and 16 schools plus a cyber academy. So we're based in Chester County, right outside of Philadelphia. Before I started at Downingtown, I was the director of communications at Avengrove School District, which is another district nearby. I've held a variety of roles in the communications department at our local intermediate unit, and I've been in school communications for about 14 years. In terms of my education, I have a master's in communications from Drexel University, and I got my undergrad in actually neuroscience from Pitt.
Oh my gosh, we're kind of the same, Jen. I was a chemistry major.
Wow. Then,
yeah, so we got the science background. Maybe that's why we jived so well when we first met. But that's really interesting. And then you got into communications. Did you always want to work in school communications, or how did you end up in schools?
Honestly, I think it was just luck. I started, like I said, my undergrad in neuroscience, and I loved learning about it, and I thought it was fascinating, and it was a lot of psychology too. So there is a little bit of ties to communications
Oh, yeah.
And marketing and what we do. But my senior year in college, I started working in a lab, and I was like, I hate this. I need to be around people. I hate it. So, I got a job at the Chester County Intermediate Unit, and I had an amazing mentor who really supported me and encouraged me, and I found my love for communications, and I love that what we're doing is to support students and to support the schools. I feel like we're using our power for good in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Well, that is awesome. Yeah, chemistry doesn't really relate too much, except for, getting systems in place and, kind of being methodical. That's what I think I bring a little bit. But I'm like you, I could not work in a lab, need to be around people. All right, Allison, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your role and your background.
Sure. So thank you so much for having us this morning. So my name is Allison Gangle. I am currently the communications manager for Downingtown Area School District. So I have been here since July of 22, so just a little bit over a year and a half. Prior to that, I had over 8 years at Radnor Township School District, which is a smaller school district in Pennsylvania. I served as their communications assistant. It's actually where I grew up. So I kind of went, you know, went home, but was looking for something just like a little bit more in my next role. So I have over 10 years total in the school PR space. But prior to coming over to education, I actually worked in the hospitality industry. I was a front desk agent and assistant front office manager for a hotel in Philadelphia. So I bring with me from that experience customer service skills. I love to talk to people. I love to get to know people. I love to see and meet different people every day. And my favorite thing I got to do when I was there was they let me redesign the info books in the guest rooms. And once I did that, I realized that that wasn't going to be my long-term place and I needed to find something a little bit more creative. I am, you know, one of those unique people who actually has my bachelor's degree in communications. Jen and I actually both went to the University of Pittsburgh, but we were a few years apart. So my background is kind of in communications since my education experience in college.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's funny that you redid the info books and you thought that was fun, which sounds like not so much fun. But now they don't even have those really anymore, right? Because everything's digital. Although I suppose they have a digital version maybe of some of that. But it's just interesting. A lot of things changed after 2020. And you've only been there a little bit, but you've made a big impact. And you guys recently joined the membership group and we got to chat for a while. And I was so impressed that I'm like, you guys got to be on my podcast. So why don't you share a little bit about social media, what you do for Downingtown, and then, you know, kind of how it fits into each of your roles, whoever wants to take that question.
I can start and then Allison, if you want to hop in. So my role here at Downingtown is more of like a strategic level role. I deal a lot with district-wide initiatives, crises, communication strategy. So we had been seeing a lot of divide recently in our community. And so what we had purposely tried to focus on is telling more of the day-to-day story and kind of taking back that ownership of the story of what's happening in our districts. And it's great. Allison's a little bit younger than I am, and she came with all of these really strong Instagram skills. So I'm going to kick it over to Allison. Like I had basically used Instagram a little bit. Like we had dabbled. I mean, personally, I'd used it, but for the district, I dabbled a little bit, but really we weren't really being intentional with it. So Allison really kind of took the lead on that charge and did a great job with it. So I'll kick it over to you, Allison.
Yeah, so I'm, Jen handles kind of more of the district level strategic stuff. I'm doing kind of more of those day-to-day operations of our department, which, you know, she really tasked me with looking at our social media. She had explained to me just a little bit about our stakeholders, who they are, what issues, you know, are hot button topics. We see that across the education space nationally right now. So what we really wanted to focus on and what I chose to commit to was really sharing like the full student experience on our social media channels. So, you know, not being reactive, like getting out, just really sharing the visual story that our kids are in school. They're happy, they're healthy, they're learning, especially after, you know, everything that happened in 2020, which, you know, it happened. We have to mention it. As tired as everybody is talking about it and how it changed things, I think there was a lot of criticism about what was going on in the schools and that the schools were, you know, on some level directing our students in certain ways. And at the end of the day, like our staff is here to make sure that they're learning and developing and growing the ways that, you know, we want them to be. So anyway, Jen had really gotten our Facebook off the ground and we had a really strong Facebook presence. We had an active community, a lot of commenting, a lot of liking, a lot of sharing. But Instagram was just kind of one side of it that we know is a really great place to share visuals with people and to really peel back the curtain and show day-to-day stuff and happy kids. So I kind of really leaned into using that platform. I had some experience from my last district, but I was a support staff member and I didn't really have the opportunity to publish. So I was very excited to kind of be brought on board and have the ability to take the lead on that and really showcase my skills. I love photography. I like to go out. I like to take pictures. I like to create little videos. I've worked with some really great people that have taught me a lot of the basics just to kind of get me off the ground. And then I look around for a lot of inspiration from other people. So I really wanted to lean into using Instagram to use for more than just ads and promotion of our events and holidays, but really to showcase what's going on inside of our walls. So, yeah. And especially with Instagram, you know, we see different platforms reach different audiences. So it was a really great way to kind of connect directly with our students as well, because we do know that Instagram kind of hits those kids a little bit more. We're not quite on the TikTok yet, but we're trying to lean in a little bit with reels and photos and everything and just showcasing what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, your photos really stand out. And so we're going to link up your social media channels. Quick question. When you joined in July of 2022, were you the first one in that role, Jen? Were you expanding your department or was she replacing somebody? Like, how's the setup for your school district of 13,000? Is it just you two in your communications department?
Well, so when I started in 2019, I was replacing another director, but the title was weird. It was like public information or something like that. And so really shifting the focus, I think everybody kind of agrees that people in this role post-COVID, the position is very different. The expectations are very different. And so when I came into the role in 2019, I really kind of had this idea of wanting to expand and grow and apply a lot of what I had learned in college and like best practices to the district. Really, the position before was a lot of just like taking the photo, putting it in a newsletter, mailing it out, that sort of thing. So we expanded the position. And as the position continued to grow, I was like slowly nudging my superintendent, like there is so much more we could be doing and I think we should be doing in order to increase our transparency and reach our community a little bit better. We do have one more employee in the communications department who's a part-time employee. She, when I started, was 4 hours a week. I bumped her up. So now I have her, I think at like 16 hours a week, but she's great, but she really handles our website. And that's been actually super helpful recently because we have an open OCR complaint. So, she's helping to navigate that while Allison and I can really focus on our day-to-day needs, for the district.
Okay. And then was Allison new to the, or did she replace a role?
It was brand new. So I had been bugging the superintendent saying, I want to do so much more. And finally we got someone, we convinced our board. And I'm just so excited, like having her come in. I thought it really important to have somebody at a communications manager level rather than a specialist, because I wanted somebody who could come in and just hit the ground running. They knew the skills. They knew what needed to be done. They had a good head on their shoulders. And really, that's why we selected Allison for this position in the interview process. She really just blew us away with things that she didn't even have necessary experience in. She could speak to what she would do in that situation. And everything was just spot on. She's got great instincts, great head on her shoulders. So I love having her here. And it just also gave me an opportunity to like take a breath and focus on strategy a little more. And like, I don't know, I can get sick one day and that's okay now. You know, I'm not, I have a funny story that one time I was in the hospital, I had to go to the ER. I was having like weird stomach pains or something and I'm on morphine and a employee passes away and I'm getting text messages from my superintendent saying we need to write a communication. And I'm like trying to type on my phone, like while, you know, slightly under the influence of the medication. And I'm like, I really need help. Like I need someone else who can help do this.
So, yes. Yeah. That was definitely a sign, but I know it just reminds me of being on my phone with people when I was having a baby. So I was like in the hospital getting ready to have a baby, and I'm still on the phone and people are like, why are you doing? And it's just like, we're that committed. Like all of us in kind of school communications, like we're that committed, but we need help. And so I love that you were able to add. And Allison, you've done an amazing job with, especially with your Instagram channel, which do you do just Facebook and Instagram? Do you have any other social media channels?
We have, we have Facebook and Instagram. We showcase our, all of our school board meetings air on YouTube, but okay. We don't really publish any other original content there. We do have a Vimeo channel that we may share longer form videos on. And then I'm trying to think what else. We had a Twitter. I can't call it X. I don't know. I feel like it's formally Twitter.
Yes.
But once that shift to X happened, we kind of leaned off of that a little bit.
Okay. All right. And that's what a lot of people did. So I appreciate you telling me that. But your focus on the Instagram, 100% increase in followers since you started. So tell me a little bit about just that growth and how you do the everyday today storytelling, because you still have 13 schools. So there's, and you're, you know, trying to cover all of those. So tell me a little bit about that and then about that growth that you've seen.
Sure. So the biggest thing I think for me when it came to growing the following was really to just kind of start posting regularly. Consistency is key. So making sure that you're frequently feeding the beast, right? There's got to be something that you're pushing out so that people start following along.
Yep.
I definitely think keeping it fresh is important as well. So not everything should be the same type of news. We want to really expand what it is that we're showing. I love to pick photos or videos that feature like a singular student. Yeah. I think a close-up of a kid is what's going to get somebody to share that with somebody else, right? They're going to push it out either to their own followers. If it's them, somebody's going to tag them in the comments, and all that's going to do is up your engagement. We of course have, you know, media releases on file for the majority of our students. We are an opt-out district. So everyone is opted in by default. And then during the annual registration process, parents have the opportunity to opt their children out. We're very lucky that across our 13,000 students, I think we have six in our 16 schools that can't be photographed. And our teachers are very aware of who those students are. I was in a kindergarten classroom recently, ready to film this adorable young child, working on their handwriting. And the teacher was like, she's the only one in the school who can't be filmed. And I was like, oh, but she looks so okay. So we're very lucky with that. So we have a lot of freedom with what we can pick and what we can share.
Okay.
I also think I started just following more accounts that were related to our school. So if I'm going to follow, for example, our swim team and they're sending kids to states, I don't necessarily need to go out and grab a picture of those state qualifiers. I can repost or add to the story that clip or that photo that they're posting. That way we're engaging more with our community there, and that's helping to grow our followers as well.
Yeah. When you say consistent posting, what does that mean to you? Like how often are you trying to post?
I try to post at least once a day.
Okay.
There's weeks where I'm maybe getting three out. There's weeks where things come up and it's, you know, one throughout the week. Ideally, it would be all 5 days and it's going to be something kind of different all 5 days.
Okay.
But prior to me coming on board, you know, we were posting something for the 4th of July and then nothing else was going until Labor Day. So it was just kind of shrinking that gap between posts to try to continue. Cause I check those numbers every day. I check those followers every day. And if I don't post something for 3 days, then I post something, then somebody stops following. So they're like, oh, well, this specific thing I'm not interested in. So they're going to bail. So by keeping them engaged over time, then they're like, oh, what's going to come up today?
Right.
So I think that the more frequently that you can do it, the better. I do like to let things sit though, to gather some
following
momentum.
Or yeah.
Yeah. So we try to avoid posting multiple times a day, especially on Instagram, if possible. The Facebook algorithm, as you know, is so different that I could post something 3 days ago and my phone's not going to show it for 3 days, but Jen might get it the second it comes up. So Facebook, I find we can post a little bit more frequently. But on Instagram, I try to limit to once a day if possible.
Okay. And I'm sorry, you have 16 schools, not 13. You got 13,000 students, 16 schools. How do you get out to those different schools? How do you feature different things? What's your method to getting content that you're then able to post?
Scheduling time to visit.
Okay.
I try to get out, let's say like once a month to all 16 schools.
Okay.
I wish I had a special power that I could teleport and go. If I could have any superpower, it would be teleportation. I want to be able to just get everywhere really quickly. Even between the two of us, the first day of school, we struggle to get to all 16 schools. We're running around like crazy. We're also located in an area with a lot of open space. So it takes us 20 minutes to get from school to school sometime. Okay. So try to get out as frequently as we can. Scheduling time to visit, making connections with the people in the buildings, I think is the biggest thing. So for example, if one of our schools has a special guest reader coming in on a Tuesday afternoon, their front office staff is reaching out to me saying, hey, we have this person coming. I can't make it. I can trust that I can say to them, I'm not going to be able to get there, but if you could please take a quick picture with your phone and send it to us, we would love to feature them.
Okay.
The other thing that's been great about having Allison on board and really pushing out a lot of the photos is that people love seeing themselves, their classrooms, the kids. And that has just also encouraged those relationships. And it really encourages people that, like, if I send something to Allison and Jen, it's going to go up to all of our followers. And that's, I mean, we've got, what, like 18,000 on Instagram or Facebook, and then a little over, was it 2,000? You know the exact number for Instagram.
It was 2,227 this morning, I think.
Well, we're going to add to that because as people are listening, because I think it's so awesome to be able to look at what other schools are doing and then be able to apply. We call that admire and acquire. And I think, you know, just your photography skills, Allison, and just the way that you take some of those pictures, the fact that you said, hey, you know, focusing on a singular student really resonates well. Sometimes you want to get the whole class, but that doesn't really make as big of an impact as that singular picture. So take a look, follow. You can even get notifications, you guys. Every time Allison posts something new on Downeytown's page, you'd get a little notification to be able to see, and then use that to inspire you for your pages. I love that. Okay, so I don't know, Jen or Allison, want to take this question, but when you look at content for your channels, you have this special thing called the 8 A's. What does that stand for? And how do you use that in your stories and in your content?
Great. So I will be totally honest. I can't take credit for this idea, but I have, like you said, admired and acquired. So at my last district, I worked with a woman who got kind of absorbed into our communications department, but had spent over 15 years running the TV studio and the news station at our high school. And she had created this idea of the 8 A's for all the features that the kids would do. So it was covering the whole high school student experience. I adapted that and have been using it to kind of help manage our social media accounts here at Downingtown. So each A stands for a different category. Like I had said at the beginning, you know, really showcasing the full student experience, I think, is really important when you're utilizing these channels. So the A's are academics. So something like an everyday class event or activity. So I just posted this morning a group of students at one of our elementary schools making self-portraits in art class.
Okay.
The next one is athletics and activities. So utilizing the accounts to do features on extracurriculars and clubs. So whether that's a state champion swimmer, or if we have our Best Buddies Club is really active with, they do a whole bunch of different, like they do a bocce program and they do meet and greets and buddy partnership events. So making sure to kind of showcase those things that are happening outside of the classroom.
Okay.
Number three is arts. So things like music. So if we have an upcoming concert coming up, or our musicians are selected for like a statewide performance group. Announcements. So just general announcements about things that are happening in the district. The board passed the budget last night. We have a snow day because of everything that came out overnight. The next one's assemblies and events. So we have a really strong diversity, equity, and inclusion program. So we showcase some of the special guests that he brings in and some of the programming that he's doing. So that falls a lot into that assemblies and events category. Achievements. So our students are winning awards, making sure we showcase those. Advertisements, which I'm using advertisements not as us posting on behalf of other organizations, but let's say we're hosting a district-wide strategic planning meeting. We're going to do an ad for that event, or we're having a job fair. We're going to do an ad for that event. So it's more of our internal events that are coming up that maybe are open to our community.
Okay.
And then lastly, anything, which is anything miscellaneous that maybe doesn't fit into a different category. Okay. So I love us. Yesterday we had a 75 degree day. Pop out and go to recess and get some pictures of kids on the playground. It doesn't necessarily fall into any of those other specific categories. So we kind of put that in anything.
Okay.
And then of course, items can kind of, you know, they can fit in different ones. So you could have somebody that wins an achievement in athletics. So it kind of falls in both. But it just helps me kind of keep an eye on like what type of stuff we're pushing out and also what type of stuff really lands also.
Right. Yeah.
Athletics is always going to get lots of likes.
Mm-hmm.
Graduation is always going to get lots of likes. Kindergarten, going to get lots of likes. So trying to keep a balance of all of that is really nice. And then keeping an eye on those ones that we push out that we think are going to get a lot of engagement and just seeing, it's always fun to be like, I told you that one was going to get a lot. But yeah. It's a good way for me to just kind of stay organized.
Do you do it formally or is it just kind of informal that you're kind of looking at it?
So the first year when I came on, I had a full Google sheet and I would export all the posts from Meta and I would look at the things and I would code them and say, this was this school and this was this category. And then I reflected back on it at the end of the year just to see how my balance ended up. Like I exported it all into a graph and it ended up being pretty much what we expected. Of course, there's more like in the high schools, that's going to get more. Always we have more, the kids are sending stuff, teachers are sending stuff. There's just more going on, I think, at that level. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being pretty well balanced. Okay. I always want more of the academics stuff. I think more of that everyday stuff really resonates with people. But yeah, we've officially we're kind of following it at the beginning. This past year, I kind of do more of just like a quick little check-in with my account. I love to just look at the 9 grid on that Instagram feed and be like, okay, this is a lot of high school kids. I need something from elementary school. Or this is a lot of kids holding certificates. Let's get something candid up there. So really trying to just kind of keep an eye on what's going out. But I'm not keeping as formal of a record of it. But it did really help to get myself started with kind of the frequency and everything.
Yeah.
It also helps get a lot of support from our school board members too, because each of them have one or two schools that are kind of their schools that are in their region. And Allison was really intentional to make sure that even if the school wasn't sending us information, she was then going to go to that school and get some of those photos so that every school was really being highlighted on social media.
Right.
We have 3 high schools. So we have some that, you know, different leadership has different beliefs on social media as well. So sometimes, you just know that you're going to I'm going to hear from this side. So I'm going to have to make more of an effort over here. So it's just kind of understanding the people that you're working with as well, and having those conversations and really just trying to kind of slowly get your claws in a little bit. And you're like, it's okay. We can do it. We can do it. I'm going to show you. It's all going to be positive. It's going to be great.
Quick clarification on advertisements. You're describing it as advertisements, but you're not necessarily boosting or paying on social media to get those stories out there.
No, we do select every once in a while. Like, we currently have an ad running for a job fair, but that's rarely, maybe 2-3 times a year, $50 here or there. It really was just more of a way to say kind of, yeah, if we're pushing something out that's like a graphic with details about an event.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Now, you mentioned a little bit in your assemblies and events, your DEI campaign. So you did a hashtag, this is DEI. And Jen, can you tell me a little bit more about that campaign and what that entails?
Yeah. So the campaign actually came out of a bit of a failure on our part. So our DEI director started in Downingtown in January of 2021. And 2021. And he was the first person in the position. It was the first time Downingtown ever had any sort of a diversity, equity, and inclusion position. So really part of my job was telling our community what his job was going to entail. There was a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of confusion about what it was going to be. So he and I kind of put our heads together and we're like, let's just like start with something we think people can get behind. And so we started each month is like a national month of something. So like Black History Month, Women's History Month, et cetera. So we started with Black History Month and we would find a notable figure, give some facts about that person and, call it a day. And it was really just a, like, we're going to try and share with our community a little bit about what DEI is and who recognizing different people who were important in history, just to start. Well, it didn't go over so well. I think that our community didn't really understand why we were doing that. And understanding and valuing the diversity in our district. So we made one big error was that we posted for Women's History Month. The first person we posted was Kamala Harris. And so some of the people selected were polarizing in that some people loved her and some people hated her. 400 and some angry comments later, we're like, okay, we need to stop this. We need to reassess. This is not successful. So we took a step back. And that's really when we decided to focus more on telling people what DEI actually is in the schools, seeing how it's represented in the schools, but then also that idea of reshaping our own narrative and showing people our classrooms as well. So increasing transparency, pulling back the curtain, letting people kind of take a peek into our schools. And that worked twofold because not only did it show people some of how DEI was presenting in our classes. So things like if our DEI director was doing like a presentation on like kindness or inclusion, you know, that's what his job was. But it also showcased the diversity in our own classrooms. So I graduated from Downingtown in 99. And when I went to school, it was a very different student population than it is now. Now we're like 67% white, 18% Asian. We have a mix of all different types of races, different people. And a lot of the people that have students in Downingtown are graduates of Downingtown. So a lot of our community remembers what it was like back when they went to school. And it was like, oh, that wasn't an issue, you know? So we really were using social media to inform people that our schools do look different. And this is something important. Like, we need to teach students that different is okay. Different is to be celebrated and it's great. And so we started with the hashtag, this is DEI campaign. And we focused on some of the things we started small, things that people could really get behind. So like Autism Awareness Month, I don't hear people out in the community getting mad at the fact that we're supporting students with autism. And we would, so if we did any sort of a great event, any sort of like a best buddies type event, we would hashtag it, this is DEI. So informing the community, belonging, inclusion, showing different types of people, this is what DEI is. This, it's not any of the scary stuff that might be out in the community, those rumors out in the community. We've come a long way. I would say we're working toward having DEI be so ingrained in what it is that we do in Downingtown that it feels like curriculum or pupil services. Like it's not something that we're specifically going to call out and say, okay, now we're going to move to the DEI portion, like of the day. We want it to be a part of everything that we're doing, and really promoting that idea of belonging, learning about other people, and understanding that other people come from different backgrounds and that we can learn from each other. And it doesn't have to be any sort of a, you know, negative connotation on in any direction.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being so open about the failures to begin with, because that's really powerful, because sometimes we want to make a positive impact, but we can start something, and social media is out there, and it's not even just for your community, right? It's for the whole world to really jump in. And I'm sure those 400 comments or whatever you got, some were not even related to or connected to your community. So I really love how then you just focus back in on, hey, what can we tell about our school? And then again, taking a look at, okay, how can we maybe pick less polarizing things and get that, you know, across. So that person has been in that position for almost 3 years now. Is that right?
Yes, that's about right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how often are you posting on social media about that? I mean, I'm sure it's happening in your schools like all the time, but do you have like a planned, this is what we're going to feature, or is it just kind of ingrained in what you do and you use that hashtag when it makes sense to use it?
I think we're at the point now where we are using that hashtag more where it makes sense. Okay. Like I said, we're trying to get to the point where it's, we're not calling it out so much other than just kind of a reminder now to people, because that is who we are and it is what we're doing. Now, there are some specific events that are DEI specific events that are really cool things that happen, or something that gets like a really big community engagement. So we just had Brandon Graham, an Eagles player, come out, and he talked about community and it was run by and organized by our DEI department. And really like those things like that, will on occasion hashtag this is DEI, just to help remind our community, like they're paying more attention to those ones bringing in like those big names. So, right. You know, it is funny to see, when you go to the event and you see somebody in the audience who, you know, is one of those people who's like the keyboard warriors who likes to really pick at our DEI director or pick at our social media posts, and they're there enjoying his event. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, social media is a powerful way to be able to educate and inform, and entertain, and, you know, all of those things. But definitely when there's misinformation out there, we need to do our best. And sounds like you guys have been able to kind of navigate that. So I appreciate you sharing that story. We could talk all day, and I'm really excited to get more followers on your page so that people can continue to learn from you. But as we wrap up, what I'll ask each of you, what your best social media tip is for our listeners. Allison, do you want to go first?
Yeah. So okay. I think my biggest tip would be change up what you're posting and what you're posting looks like. So posting posed photos versus candid photos versus reels. Again, I love to look at that 9-item grid on my feed, and I try to make sure that every image doesn't look like the one that's next to it. So whether that's the lead image in a carousel, the thumbnail you're using for your video, or just an individual picture. So for example, if I posted, you know, a singular picture of one kid, candidly yesterday, then today, maybe I want to look at posting a group picture of a team that won something or two students that are smiling directly at the camera. I really try to kind of change that up just to keep the eye interested, and that's going to help somebody kind of maybe notice something different. Also, as Jen said, we have a very diverse population. So I do try to pick students that are different ages. I try to make sure that the students that we're including don't all look like they can be brother and sister. We want to make sure that we're really showcasing the diversity in our community through the images and the visuals that we're choosing as well.
Okay, that is a great tip and something that I need to pay attention to as well, since I do social media every day for, for my school. I don't get to go out and take all the pictures, but I think that's a really good advice and how intentional you are. And that's why your page looks the way it does. All right, Al or Jen, what would you say your best tip is?
I'll give you two quick ones. One is that every post doesn't have to be about some specific amazing event that happened. Really getting into the schools and just showing kids being happy, having fun, recess, for instance. People love that. People love to see their kids. People love to kind of reminisce. It brings back a little bit of that nostalgia feeling of being back in school. And it really resonates with our community. And then learning from my own missteps, again, is just not engaged with the trolls. And don't feed the trolls is what they say. And I know I joked before about seeing some of those people in person and how it's kind of like you kind of giggle to yourself about it. But honestly, we are really kind of trying to bring people together and grow support for the school district and grow understanding. And really, that's what I think our jobs are all about. So really don't add fuel to the fire if there's people just kind of writing nasty things on social media. Make sure you have a good social media policy posted on your page so you can hide specific things, when it gets a little bit too antagonizing or negative. But just trying to bring everybody along in a positive direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are certainly doing that for your school district. Thank you so much, both of you, for your time and for sharing all of the details. I've certainly learned a lot, and I know our listeners have. If they want to stay connected to you, what's the best method for that? Is it maybe your email address? I mean, obviously, they can follow you on social, the school district, but what's the best way, Jen? For you?
So you can connect with us individually on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And you can also shoot us an email. I don't know, Andrea, if you have a place where you can put something in writing, but our email address is, my email is jsheely@dasd.org. And I'm happy to share, and anyone can admire and acquire anything that I've done. I'm happy to share stuff. So,
okay. And we will include your email in the show notes, everybody. So check that out. And then how about you, Allison? LinkedIn and email maybe?
Yeah, LinkedIn and email is great for me as well. I'm going to be agangle@dasd.org. So agangl at DASD, Downingtown Area School District.
Okay, awesome. Well, reach out to these ladies. Like I said, we had our first little chat. We're talking through some of their pages. And I was just like, sometimes people ask, oh, hey, how about some feedback? And I'm like, this is awesome. This is awesome. Wow, this is incredible. And so great job. Jen, I'm so proud and happy that you've been able to add to your team and add somebody like Allison. Allison, you're doing an outstanding job. So keep up the great work. And thanks for also sharing in our little membership community. We appreciate learning and growing with you. So thanks, everybody, for listening to another podcast. We'll be back with another amazing guest next week. And until then, you guys keep telling those stories and change up those, change up the grid a little bit. Take a look at that. Take those tips. Thanks, ladies. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to let you in on a little secret. Creating this podcast is my favorite thing to do. Now, I have a pretty amazing job all around, but podcasting is my happy place. Of course, podcasting doesn't pay the bills, and I have six kids, remember? So I wanted to remind you of the three ways I help schools through my paid programs. Number one, and most popular, is my membership group. You can join my exclusive virtual community designed for school social media managers. It offers a treasure trove of resources, including Canva templates, daily support, live weekly training sessions, and access to a vast library of webinars. You guys, with over 400 schools across the country already benefiting from this vibrant community, you'll gain insights and tools that can supercharge your school's social media presence. Number two way that I serve schools is speaking. I love to share my passion for social media, and I do this with communication organizations across the country and school districts. You know, my keynotes really deliver actionable tips and strategies that can be implemented immediately, ensuring that your school stays ahead of the communication curve. And last, number three, my team and I, we actually do social media management for schools. So many school districts struggle to stay consistent on social media, and that's due to a lack of dedicated communication personnel. So that's where we come in. Our team will partner with your school district to manage your Facebook and Instagram accounts, and we ensure a consistent flow of compelling stories that come directly from your staff. That's it. If you are interested in getting more details on number one, the membership group, number two, speaking, number three, the social media management, hop on over to my website, socialschool4edu.com. And then until next time, keep telling those stories.